Good morning. Today's reading comes from the Old Testament, a book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then made Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." And Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And Samuel then went to Ramah.
Grab my Bible. We're just going to spend just a few minutes, because you've been working and listening so hard this morning, guys, so we're not going to spend very long, but just a few minutes in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And if you have 1 Samuel chapter 16 nearby, we start off with a question. Do you think your inside is more important than your outside, and why is that? That was the question that we asked at the start, and we had a bit of a chat about it. And I imagine most of us thought, yes, our inside is more important than our outside. That's the theme of our message today, and we're going to see four things very briefly. And I've got my good and badometer stick to help me explain what I'm going to say. So I'm going to be holding this, so maybe you'll be able to, Ollie, operate the PowerPoint for me. Thank you. So our first point is good news. Good news. Yay, God sees inside our hearts. That's when I was a little boy, I knew this verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, and verse 7. I knew it. I thought it was a very, very good verse. Maybe you've sometimes been somewhere and have seen the following slide. Thanks, Ollie. What's this? Anyone recognise that? Shout out where you can say what it is. What is that? It's an X-ray. Yes, thank you. It's an X-ray. And an X-ray is a very, very clever way where a doctor, and there's lots of doctors here at Highfield, and maybe some of them use X-rays, and they can see inside your body. I remember various members of my family have broken bones, and we've had an X-ray, and an X-ray can see right inside. And it's great that God can see right inside too. Next slide. This is our key verse. I wonder whether we could all read this verse out together if you are able to read and can see it from where you're sitting. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And when I was younger, I used to think, yay, that's great news, because it doesn't matter what I'm like on the outside. You know, maybe I'm a bit short and not very muscly. Dare I say it, a little bit like David seemed to be. Oh, I don't, maybe I'm just, I'm, I don't have the right kind of clothes like my friends do. Don't have expensive clothes like they do. I can't dress up like them. Maybe I've got some spots, or maybe my hair's a bit greasy. Maybe I support the wrong football team, and most people are judging me on the outside. But God isn't judging me on the outside. Yay, God looks at my heart. And that seems like it's really great news. We think, yes, fantastic. God looks at my heart. He sees the real me inside. He's not bothered about my outside. He's bothered about my inside. Yay, good news. Oh, wait a second, bad news. The good news has suddenly turned into bad news because God sees inside our hearts. It's the same verse. God sees inside our hearts, friends. People look on the outward appearance, but God sees inside my heart. Because the moment I started to think about this verse, boys and girls and mums and dads, I thought, you know, my outside, I can do a pretty good job of making quite nice. Maybe I can buy some clothes or grow some muscles or put on some makeup or do my hair nice or whatever it may be, that the kind of thing you do. Maybe I'll support the right team and say the right kind of words on the outside and people will like me. I wear a bit of a mask. But God sees behind the mask. He sees behind the makeup. He sees behind the hairstyle, the fashion, the clothes, the sports team, and he sees inside my heart. And that's a little bit bad news. Actually, Jesus talked a bit about that. There's a Bible verse that explains. Have a look at this. It is from within. This is what Jesus says. Out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, and arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. You see, the people that Jesus was talking to at the time were concerned about the outside. They used to wash their hands in certain ways. They used to have various pots and pans. They washed the outside of their pots and pans. But Jesus says it's like the inside of your pots and pans are filthy and dirty and you're not bothered about your inside. My parents have a kettle by their bedside. And every morning they make themselves a cup of tea using the kettle by their bedside. And it's kept nice and clean and they use the hot water to pour and make themselves a cup of tea. Several years ago, my mother was cleaning out the kettle, just kind of tidying up, and the flow that the water was coming out the spout was just not as smooth as it might have been. And she wondered what was going on, because she'd kept it all nice and clean. So she opened up the lid of the kettle and found inside the skeleton of a mouse. Sometimes, by the way, children... preachers make up stories for effect. That is an honest, true story. You can ask Christine Gobbett later. Inside the kettle, a lovely kettle, beautiful on the outside, was a skeleton of a mouse. And just think about that for the previous weeks. You've been having cups of tea with washings of mouth. It just turns the stomach. Think about it. Ah, inside. Outside looked great. Inside, rotten. Well, you know what, boys and girls and mums and dads and friends... actually, to say that God can see inside my heart, it's like he can see all the rotten stuff inside. He can see my pride. He can see my envy. He can see my lying. He can see my pretending to be someone who I'm not. So it's good news. Give me a thumbs up, everyone. It's good news. But it's also bad news because God can see it. And I thought, hey, but the story goes better. There's better news. Next slide. David points us to Jesus, our Saviour. And this is really fantastic. Because David is called a man after God's own heart. And ultimately, David is like a great big signpost that is pointing that way forward through the Bible to tell us all about Jesus. So do you know what? Here's the next slide. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was called out. Next slide, actually. Someone once called out to him, blind Bartimaeus, said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus had lots of names. We say at Christmas time that Jesus was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus was called Jesus, which means God saves. Sometimes people called him Lord. And other times people called him Christ. Other times people called him the son of David, because David was the great, 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 great 28 times grandfather of Jesus. And David, the story of David, and we're going to see this in the next few weeks as David defeats Goliath and David is attacked by Saul. David befriends Jonathan. All these stories about David, ultimately, the main point there in the Bible is to be a great big signpost pointing us to Jesus. And just as David, you know, initially, Samuel wouldn't have gone to David. It's like, why are you going to David? Like, David's just this little squirt. Like, he's not going to save the people. No offence, David, you're a mighty warrior in your own right. He's called David, so just to make that point clear. But the Bible, David, you wouldn't have looked at the Bible, David. And do you know what, boys and girls, you wouldn't have looked at the Bible, Jesus, either. Because in Isaiah chapter 53, it says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. You would have walked past Jesus. He didn't have a halo on his head saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the saviour of the world. He just was someone, people ignored him. He was born in poverty, born in a manger. And yet God took this person and made him the saviour because, yes, he was totally man, but he was totally God. And David points forward to Jesus, our saviour, who does have mercy on us. So we've seen good news, God looks inside our hearts. Bad news, God looks inside our hearts. Better news, David points us to Jesus, our saviour. And the best news of all, Jesus can change our hearts. How cool is this? How wonderful is this? That the Jesus who David points to is someone who can change our hearts. He's someone who can change our hearts. We've got a couple of Bible passages that explain this to us. Our next slide. Here's David, when he grew up, probably lots of us know this, David lived a life, he did lots of good, he did quite a lot of bad as well, including killing a man and having his wife as his wife. And then he confesses his sins and he knows, I can't make this up anymore, I can't pretend I'm good when I'm bad. I've done wrong. What have I done? And he says, forgive me. And he calls out to God, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He calls out to God, please renew my heart. Please forgive me. Please give me a new heart. And then later on in the Bible, we get an amazing promise. And this is really cool because the children in Equip this month are studying the book of Ezekiel. And your memory verse, children, is taken from Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart. So the previous verse was David calling on God. God, please give me a new heart. And guess what God says? Yes, I will. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So the best news of all is that Jesus can change our hearts. So maybe you're sitting here today and you say, I can make my outside look pretty good. I can make up, muscles, the right kind of clothing, the right kind of words to blend in with the crowd, the Christian crowd, so I'm accepted and loved. But actually, if all of that was taken away, you would be pretty ashamed. It's like a rat inside there. Oh, don't know me. You can't see me, but God sees you. And he can change that worst part of you by his spirit as he gives us. If we trust in Jesus, he gives us his spirit and he takes out our hard hearts and gives us a new heart that loves and follows Jesus. So what have we seen? We've seen, let's everyone do the actions with me. Next slide, please. Ollie, one more. Good news. God can see our hearts. Bad news. God can see our hearts. Better news. The story of David points forward to Jesus, our Saviour. And the best news of all is that Jesus can change our hearts. I've got one last question that I want to leave with you. Just for 30 seconds, we've not got a countdown time on, but I'd like this almost in the quiet. You don't need to talk to anyone else about this one. But here's the final challenge from this morning. How much am I worrying over my outside? Our world is worrying over their outside. But God's not really concerned about the outside. He's concerned about the inside. So I'll just give you 30 seconds. And while you're in about 30 seconds of quiet and the band can get into their positions, after a few moments, I'll say a short prayer and then we'll have a closing song. But just a moment of quiet in the busyness of Sunday morning to ask the question, how much am I worrying over my inside, my outside? Because Jesus can change my inside and wants to. Let's bow our heads and pray. And maybe as we're in our quiet, we may think about all the things coming up over the course of today, getting ready for next week. Maybe, just maybe today, you could talk to somebody, maybe some family members or friends or housemates. How much are we worrying over our outside? How can we help each other be much more concerned about our inside? Because Jesus wants to change us there. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your word. We praise you that you're someone who can see inside our heart, which we see as good news, but we also see as bad news too, because inside is so much wrong, so much mess. But thank you that the story of David points forward to you as our great Saviour, and you, Lord God, can change our hearts. So, Jesus, Son of David, today, have mercy on us, creating us pure hearts and cleanse us from our sin, we pray. Thank you for your grace. Please be with us, we pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.